Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Sport Talk Monday here on Trenton White Sports, a.k.a. the Buffalo Water Cooler. Glad to be with you again. Glad for the comments I got from last night's show. We pretty much touched on a lot of different things that, you know, we're going to get into as we're back on now. We're going to do a lot of different things. We're going to tackle more issues. We're going to actually go on the road a little bit more and actually just, you know, expand what we always been talking about. So after the break, you know, came back yesterday. Things been pretty good, and I'm pretty satisfied. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Coca-Cola, for being there from day one. We're back. We're ready to go. Got a pretty good show today. You know, I want to talk about certain things that we need to talk about as far as the student-athlete-coach relationship. And I touched on what I'm going through, but it also opened my eyes to a lot of different things that I kind of seen before, but I think no one talks about this issue, and I think it's getting out of hand to some aspect when a coach and a player and that player's parents get involved. I think it's a deal that a lot of us need to look into and maybe, you know, start talking about it more, because right now coaches get a free pass for whatever reason. They get a free pass, and sometimes coaches step over that line. There's a lot of good coaches out there. I had them on my show, Tim Delaney, Steve McDuffie, and a few other names. Katie Texas coach down in Texas, who were the national champs 2 years ago. Got a lot of different coaches who are doing the right things, but there's some who aren't doing the right things. I think the school districts need to be held accountable for that. We're going to talk about what happened in Oklahoma. Pretty disturbing, you know, being a minority, being African-American. A lot of people say, you know, what do you think about race? Is it gone? It's never gone. It's always going to be there. Race is always going to be there. You just hate to be reminded that it's there. But when I see things like what happened in Oklahoma, where they were chanting racial slurs, saying they'll never join our club, they'll be hanging from a tree, pretty disturbing chant they had. I think a lot of people seen that, and some people were surprised. Me myself, I wasn't really surprised. I said, okay, well, there you go. You know, to most African Americans who are you know, out there in the public, you see it, and you kind of just rub it off and go your own way. You try to believe that it's not out there, but racism's always out there. And I think as much as we talk about it, racism's going to be out there for a very long time. It's been out there for years. It's not going to happen now because politicians use it as a political point to get votes or people talk about it. That's why we said that some activists are just wasting their breath. You know, certain things you can control on this earth, and certain things you can't. Human nature is going to be human nature. If someone doesn't like anybody because of the color of their skin, nationality, religion, that's always going to be there. But what they said in Oklahoma, let's be honest, to most of us in the real world, we were probably shocked to see it, but then thought about it a second later and said, yeah, I don't doubt it. It's out there. And when you see the younger generation doing it, let me tell you something right now. When you see college kids doing it, 18 to 21, racism's still there because they learned it from their parents. So you can't really sit there and say that racism isn't out there, but, you know, it affected Oklahoma. I think they had a four-star offensive tackle, Gene DeLance, committed, and then he decommitted. He's not going to admit directly that it had something to do with SAE chanting racial slurs, but I can guarantee you it did. And I think you'll probably see more people decommit who have other options to go elsewhere. You know, I think something like this is, you know, just out there. It's a shame it's out there, but you got to be realistic and just know those things do happen. I mean, it's not just black. They could have been screaming Muslim slurs, Irish slurs, Chinese slurs, Asian slurs, whatever. You know, just so happened when you yell a racial slur towards African Americans that have so much history entrenched in the disgrace of the United States some 100 years ago, it kind of brings back, you know, those bad memories to the surface. And when you say something about an African American, it has a little bit more weight to it because of so much that's going on in the Civil Rights Movement, even before then. But there's a history there. And you would want to think that, you know, back when it started until now, the 60s, 70s, 80s, whenever, things would change. Guess what? The newer generation who are just 18 years old, 17 years old, are still doing it as proof that I said it's never going to go anywhere. So, you know, as a result, they're going to get a lot of PR punishment for this. They acted very swiftly. They got the group off campus. They got to move out, and they're going to see if they can expel some kids. I mean, look, someone took the camera on the phone and turned it on and videotaped everything. So obviously they were too scared to stand up and say stop, or they just went ahead and didn't agree with it and said, you know, enough's enough. We should put this out there and let people know what's going on. And I tell you, it's going to have major, major consequences for a lot of those kids who, you know, just were being kids and said the wrong things and said the rude things. And I think any racial issue, especially on a major campus like that, let's not forget college is a business, that's going to affect the college in many different ways, not just on the football, basketball field, or whatever. So that's a topic that, you know, you don't want to talk about too much because, let's be honest, it's going to have some legs. The media is going to push this as far as they can. You know, you're not going to change too much about it. So I think that, you know, as you look at it, you could be disgusted and, you know, say what you got to say, but it won't be the first, won't be the last time you'll see anyone, kids, adults, whatever, caught saying those kind of things. It just amazes me in this day and age when there's so many different ways to get caught and to record different things. People still do that, but they're going to pay. And just follow the media. It's the last time you're going to hear about it from me. My main concern was how it affects those kids who are coming in to play football, basketball, whatever, who are African American. And I can tell you right now, if this didn't happen, this four-star offensive tackle probably would still be going to Oklahoma. How many guys really decommit from a school like Oklahoma, who has the pedigree they have? They've been down a few years, but it's still Oklahoma. NFL, you know, countdown to free agency. Things are happening. You got Jake Long released by the Rams. Almost immediately, Bills fans and other fans around the country were looking at him for their team. And I tell you what, they mainly did it for cap space, but it also, to me, was a youth movement. I think when you see things like this, I think it makes sense not to jump up right away and say we want him. Because, look, if they let go of a guy like Jake Long, you know, he had his injuries, he's been bounced around a few teams, but when a team lets go of a guy like that, there's reason. And you don't want to be the first one to always pick up that used tire and think you could add more tread to it. The tread's never going to come back. Look, he's a good lineman. But I don't think you should go out and try to pick this guy right away, especially if you're in the process of rebuilding a team like the Buffalo Bills and so many other teams out there, unless you really need that tackle and you have no one else out there and you're willing to pay that price tag. If you're willing to do that, go right ahead and do it. You know, I give the New England Patriots the most credit in the world, and a lot of people think Revis is a no-brainer to re-sign. They're not going to pick that up, and I give them a ton of credit because I wouldn't have done it either. I wouldn't have done it either. $20 million option. Yeah, they're still negotiating, but I'm not going to pay Darrell Revis that. Look, he's a good corner. He's a good corner. He's a Hall of Famer. I'll say that. He's a Hall of Famer, but is he worth $20 million when you know how the Patriots operate? They don't operate that way. They can get your trash and get some good use out of the trash more than any other team in the NFL. So if you want to go ahead and sign Revis for $20 million, it's not going to be the Patriots to do it. They're not going to pick up the option. They'll negotiate and find a way to ease that blow if they want to keep him. And the Patriots are so good, if he stays there, he's going to bend to what they want him to do. I'm sure he can go elsewhere and get that money, but come on. They just came off a Super Bowl. The Patriots have the leverage. I think they do this without him next year, having a good season. They'll have a good season next year without him. But he's a good corner. But you're not going to pay too much. I think Buffalo Bills fans are getting kind of shop happy now because they're finally making moves and they just want to go after everybody. Can't do that. It's going to take like 2 years to have a solid team. And the sad part about free agency is this. It's a double-edged sword. You can get the good guys you want, but at the same time, you only have a certain amount of time to make it work. And you got to try to get all the contracts kind of synchronized so the whole team can come together. And then next thing you know, 3-4 years later, they're gone. Then you got to start over again. That's where the front office comes in. Like the Patriots or not, they're probably the best in the league at doing that. Some teams, the 49ers, for example, had those good 2 years. Those good 2 years, now look at them. I'm not going to say they're a mess, but they're not able to sustain what the Patriots did over all these years. As much as I don't like them, I got to respect the New England Patriots just for what they've done, because what they've done just is almost unheard of in today's NFL or just sports in general. So, you know, people are emailing me about that saying, hey, Trent, what do you think about the Patriots not picking up the option? think it's a good move on their part. It's a very good move. Spoke to Slapshot Rob. You know, Slapshot's also talking about Long. I don't think Long is really needed here for the Bills, but, you know, the fans are ready to go. The fans are ready to go. These guys are just, you know, so happy, so happy, so happy that their team's finally doing something to where they just want to get who they can get. Look, the guy's got to be able to play. The guy's got to be able to play, and you just can't pick up anybody. Another topic I'm going to just leave out there, but got a quick hit on my communicator that, you know, the coaching thing. Look, I hit on what was pretty much happening with me at Ken West, and I want to talk about a few other things here with the people about, look, you watch your kid grow up, you take him to sports all his life, and you get to the point to where you do got to let go. But as a father, you don't let go completely because you want to make sure you're putting your kid in the best hands possible. And at schools, public schools, sometimes you don't have that choice. You got to go with who the school puts in there. You got to go with what the teachers union allows these guys to do. And we're talking New York State here because some states don't even have this. Where I'm from, it didn't work this way. The math teacher wasn't a football coach. The gym teacher wasn't a football coach. This didn't work that way. Just because you're a coach doesn't mean anything. When I talk about a line, if a parent comes to any coach and has any concern about their kid, that coach should listen and also act on that concern. He shouldn't be a jerk or arrogant, an arrogant, unsociable, who doesn't know how to, you know, communicate socially. He shouldn't just use the kid as a piece of meat, which you see have happened a lot of times. When you're a coach who's under 500, who doesn't have any championships of any consequence to really point to and say, I've done this, I don't think he should be coaching. The teachers union in New York State and here in West New York allows coaches to coach like three or four different sports. It's an extra paycheck. You know, we could say that. Let's just say it's an extra perk. Look, I'm not taking away from any teacher who went to college, got their degree. Look, I respect all that, and you deserve to have those opportunities. But just because you get them doesn't mean the school district should just allow things to happen without having some type of, let's say, measuring stick. If you're failing 2 or 3 years, you got to go. Let's get someone else in there. But a lot of these coaches will fight you tooth and nail to keep these jobs because it's an extra paycheck. I've been talking about Kenmore West for a day now, and I think the worst thing that could happen is you get a school district where everyone's buddies, where everyone's friends, everyone played football together and went to school together. I think that's the worst thing that could ever happen because it's not a good situation for the kids. Something you got to look at. This Ken West story has legs, and I'm going to guide it to your ears in a few more days when everything gets done. It all depends what you want to believe. If you believe your coach is the man and your coach could do everything, even though he's done nothing for 10 years, and the players who came through his system are telling you that the happiest time that they had was playing football at a D3 college or a D2 college or whatever, that they got to on their own, that tells you something. When you have 1,400 kids in a school and only 22 to 25 come out and 13 only play, and you're one of the smallest football teams among the large schools in West New York, Section 6 AA, that's a problem. When you have players who can play football, who can contribute, who want to chase their dreams, find other ways, they'll rather join a club team to play rugby or anything else just to stay away from the football team because of the coaching. When a college coach calls for a kid and then that coach contacts the guys like myself and James Mallory and other guys who help out, hey, I'm trying to call for this kid. He won't answer the phone. He won't return phone calls. I've been calling for 2 weeks. When a university is offering a kid an opportunity, but yet he refuses to answer back the phone call or any form of contact for this kid, he doesn't do it. When the gym teacher uses his gym teacher status and make it so bad to where parents don't want to confront him about certain things because this guy's a gym teacher, and he's saying, look, if you don't do this, I'm going to mark you down for this. It, you know, affect your grade. When you got parents saying that, oh, I don't want to rock the boat because my son's in his gym class, that's a problem. And when you take the necessary steps, you talk to the AD, you talk to the superintendent, you talk to the vice principal, after all the mess started, you go where you got to go first, and that's the AD. You think you're going to get help. You don't get help. You get passed on to the vice principal. When you get to the vice principal, you don't get any help. He lies to you, too. You go to the superintendent. The superintendent's new, doesn't know really what's going on, but seems like already have been, I don't know, tampered. They send you back to the AD. And the AD says, no, you got to go back to the vice principal. And there's a game. And this game only goes around because parents let it happen. I don't know what Ken West is doing here. I have no problem with the teacher. I think some teachers are, I think some of those teachers there are great. They've been good to my kids, but you allow a gym teacher slash a football coach to affect me possibly having to look for another school to send my kid to. Or other parents. What about the parents who can't afford it? Very honest question. I'm sure this happens in many places around the country. I know peewee football coaches who look at their kids and have more care for them than a high school coach. When you're coaching men who are taking that next step to become men because they're leaving high school and their life is just getting started. And you somehow find a way to try to mess that up, show you don't care. How many coaches do you know when football's over, you never see them again? It's not how I had it. Every coach should have some type of impact in your life somehow. I love my football coach. I went down to Pennsylvania to visit him last year, middle of last year. Yeah, he's sick, not doing well, but that's my coach. I went down to see him. We had a good time. I stay in touch with my coach. You can't do that to the Ken West coach. You run away from graduation happy that you don't got to see him again because of what he does. And there's a whole lot more. There's an investigative reporter. I'm not going to say what channel. Did an investigation and called certain people about this guy, and he told me he was disturbed what he heard. But yet, the people who employ this guy refuse to do something about it. I don't know if they're in on the take. I don't know if they're scared. But all I know is this. That school district is a mess when it comes to that. You remove that cancer, everything else should be just fall in place. There's a few cancers in that school that you need to remove that will smile on your face and stab you in the back, treat you like you're stupid. Don't want to rant on this too much because we have sports to talk about, but I can't stand school districts that think they're untouchable. Because every school district is touchable. Your position isn't guaranteed. Your position isn't without any criticism. I did a show on this guy before. He tried to ban me from the football field. The AD for once did something right and said, you can't do that. The head coach told me once, you shouldn't do that because you're going to make it tough for your kids. Oh, what does that mean? Wrong guy. You may have done this for 10 years to parents who were scared of you. Not scared. Obviously not. I'm a challenging school district until things start working right. And they can spin it all they want, which Ken West is the best spinners out there. They'll spin everything. All I gave them was a nasty, vulgar, very mean voicemail that didn't even sound like me after being told for 2 years and just having the broom just shoved up my rear end so far to where I said enough of this. When you try to treat my kid like a piece of meat, I said, okay, that's it. Besides that, I have no intention on hurting any teachers there with this. This is going to the football coach and all the guys at the top, the AD, the superintendent, and everyone else involved. For all the parents that didn't speak up, I don't know where you come from. I don't know where a parent allows a football coach to treat their kid the way they do. Never seen that in my life. But I tell you, I'm not doing nothing no one else should have done a long time ago. Oh, there's some stories here. I can have people calling right now to get this going. I don't feel like talking about it. I'm just responding to a few people who chatted to me about it and agreed because they know the guy. A lot of football stuff going on right now in the NFL. Free agency. Trying to change the subject a little bit because I don't want to get into it because I'm going to say things right now that aren't meant to be said now. As far as the NFL goes, though, I tell you what. For the first time in a long time, I could really care less about free agency. Because when you have guys like DeMarco Murray set to become an unrestricted free agent tomorrow, guy that finished with 1,800 yards last season, this shows me that the NFL has really become too much of a business and too much of a business to me to want to follow every leaking story. I just think it's ridiculous. It's a business, though. I mean, just think of these numbers. The most salary cap teams in 2015 are the Jaguars with $69 million, Raiders $58 million, Jets $55 million, and the Browns $50 million as of March 5th. That's insane. You know, my uncles tell me back when free agency wasn't around how they just like when you got a team and sometimes those guys stay together for years, which makes what the Patriots done that much more great. You got to respect that. But I tell you, my things, kids, and my things, how sports has become so much of a spectacle as a business aspect of it. And boy, I tell you, I watch sports sometimes and, you know, have we gone too far with it? Have we gone too far with sports? And I tell you what, you have Friday Night Tights on. They got Pee Wee football on TV now. Most of us football guys know how it really is, but now it's on TV. So let me ask you a question for all you guys who like that show. What do you do to the kid right there? He's anywhere from 6 to 12. What are you doing to that kid right now? He's trying to be like Tom Brady. He's trying to be like Revis. He's trying to be like these guys already. Now you're putting little kids on TV playing Pee Wee football. You know what? It sounds cool. No. Take off your parent hat. Take off your common sense hat and tell me what this is doing to kids now. Little League football on TV. It's like a story. You're showing kids getting run over. You're showing kids get hit. You're showing kids get hurt. What are we doing as a society when it comes to our sports and our kids? Come on. The Little League World Series has been going on quite some time. Not a big baseball guy, but I get it. Some will say, hey, why can't you put on football? Because you made it a show. Because now you have parents on the TV. Now you have kids who are getting injured. And we know football is a dangerous sport, but I think there's a line being crossed there. You're putting so much pressure on these kids. I get what you're trying to do, but come on. Are kids becoming worthless? Is being a kid, growing up being a kid, watching SpongeBob, watching Superman, just being a kid, playing with your guys, playing a few video games, on Saturday, going out, riding your bikes around the park. Are those days gone? Serious question. Are those days gone now? Because now, Little League football, Friday Night Tights is now on TV. It's a show. And listen, I get it. I checked the show out a few times. And I'm just amazed how far people will go. I don't know. Listen, here's the thing. The world's changing, and I'm a guy that looks at it, and my focus is mostly kids. Because when you create a kid in that environment, you get the Pac-Man Joneses. When you create a kid in that environment, you're patting him on his back, you get the Hernandezes. When you're patting a kid on the back and not making him really earn, not just on the field, socially earn his place in this world, and you're putting him on TV at a young age playing football, that's already patting the kid on the back more than you could do physically doing it. I just think it's different. And I don't think that you're going to ever go backwards. I think the days of kids being kids are gone. People still try to capture that, but the reality is it's over. I tell you, if I was 10 years old again, I don't know if I want to start and try to navigate through that kind of world that is not placed in front of these kids. Who plays tag anymore? I'm not old, but I played tag when I was a kid. Who played hide and go seek? Those are gone. Those are like ancient games. If you ask a kid now, let's play hide and seek, he got to look it up. He got to Google it to find out how to play it. Those days are done. So what do you do now? Kids that respect coaches, I think a lot of them do. When it's a good coach who respects them, kids very early now, in a very early age, will not respect you if they see you doing something wrong. It's just the way it is. I didn't grow up that way, but that's how it's happening now. And I tell you, it's a whole different world out there, and I don't think it's a good one. But I'll do what I can to make sure the kids are grounded and try to help them navigate through high school to get to college. Those are big steps, and those are big steps that people are just starting to realize are bigger than what the kids are told how big they are. These are huge steps. And I never thought I would see the day where kids didn't just play hide and seek or anything else no more. You know, you could play on the Xbox. You know what? We had games too. Maybe they weren't as good as the Xbox One, but we had Nintendo. We had ColecoVision. We had all that stuff. We still wanted to go outside more than sit in front of the TV. We still wanted to go outside more than have 1,000 channels to flick from and just watch things like Little League football. Now that's a show. A lot more things we could have done back then. And I see this happen all the time when I talk to kids. What do you want to do? There's no more, you know, back in the day, if you were a kid and you asked me, what do I want to do? What college team I want to play for? I probably wouldn't have said Michigan. I probably wouldn't have said Miami. Probably wouldn't have. And if I did say it, it was joking. Knowing that was a far dream, as good as I was, knowing that's a dream that I probably could never get to. And if I did, thank God. But kids now, they think they could just show up. Kids don't want to work. Kids think they could just show up to these schools and do whatever. As crazy as it may sound, that's what they think. Put them in the papers way too much. We over-popularize these kids. And what I mean by that is, we overdo it. I think awards are great. I think the way personal awards are, I think they're great because if a kid deserves it, he gets it. I don't believe in this everyone gets a trophy nonsense. It's a very competitive world. And me growing up, I knew that. I think now kids growing up think they can just do whatever they want. I don't think most kids understand how competitive it is to get into college. Steve Casanova, Winslow South quarterback, he's nowhere yet. Kind of shocking to me, but somewhere along the line, the coaches lied to this poor kid and made it seem like it was a slam dunk he was going somewhere. But yet he's not. It's not his fault. He did everything the coaches told him, but yet no school signed this poor kid yet. Just got done having a good, well, he's still in the basketball playoffs right now. But that poor kid's going to get done with basketball and realize that he's not going to a college. Not yet. I don't know, but I live in West New York, and I don't think the coaches are – not all coaches are prepared to lead their students where they need to lead them. And I think it's a very sad situation because there's a lot of kids who get looked over just for that reason. Thank God West New York has a very high academic standard to where a lot of these kids can survive that initial rejection and still move on. But there's just as many kids in West New York who cannot move on from that initial rejection because guess what? They were never guided in the right direction by a guy who's supposed to be a guider but didn't do it. There's some good teachers out there. There's some good teachers who are coaches. But there's a lot more bad ones who shouldn't even be coaching. And that's just a fact. The fact of the matter is, a teacher's union, any union, you know, I thought was good. Until I see how people and districts use a loophole to keep bad guys in, and then they crouch down to this teachers' union because guess what? They'll fight for them, even when they don't deserve it. A few messages, you know, just letting me know. You know, I'm not talking about many sports right now. I'm just getting on this because I want to just make this point because there's going to be a lot of different things coming on here. A lot of different things are going to be coming on the show, and I'm kind of setting it up with all this because it all makes sense. It will all make sense when I get here. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just a guy that really gets upset and have a very big passion when it comes to people getting cheated, especially kids. Kids not knowing what their GPA is supposed to be. Kids not knowing what they got to do to get out there to go to college. Kids not knowing that the coach isn't a real coach. He's just a guy collecting a paycheck. And at the end of the year, doesn't get any help. That's what gets me. So when James Mallory and I had this camp, which has grown tremendously, the college-level camp, James did the coaching, I do the talking to the kids and the parents about what they need to do. We're not trying to take any credit for anything. We're trying to prepare you because we understand that most of the teachers / coaches here, not all, but a large part, have no clue what they're doing. They're just worried about that season and the school's record. And if they have a bad season, and if it's their sixth bad season in a row, it doesn't matter because the teachers' union will come to their rescue and they won't let anyone else coach. Because this guy's been there for so long. Some districts are prepared to go down sinking with their failure coach. That's just the way it is, I guess. It's a shame because how many kids did he hurt in the process that aren't here anymore? I didn't realize how many kids hated playing for Kenmore West until you talked to them. Kids from 8 years ago, kids from 7 years ago, whatever. Just completely hated playing for this guy. And yet the school district doesn't care. They don't care. There's a bigger, nastier side to this also. There's a much bigger, nastier side to this when it comes to certain players who have huge impacts on this team, how they're treated. It's not fun, but it's a very serious situation that we need to look at. And why people are scared to look at it makes me even madder. So I'm going to leave it at that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on this week. Get some guests on to really talk about it. I just get really carried away with it because it's a very serious issue. And a lot of you guys who are listening don't really understand how much of an issue this is, but you'll find out. You know, I've seen an interesting story on ESPN. Talked to a few of my buddies about it. Phoenix Rising. Freaking guy's an MMA fighter. Not a real big one yet. Walking the streets of Seattle in a Superman. Well, not a Superman. He's a superhero, pretty much. He walks around and, you know, he has a, and when I say a superhero, he's the real deal. He has a superhero suit. He walks around. And this guy fights crime. How he's on ESPN, I don't know. Maybe because he's an MMA fighter. But, you know, I watched his story on this guy. And I kind of understand. I like the guy. He's sticking up for right. He's trying to help those out there who are not able to help themselves. He's breaking up crime. But I'm just concerned the guy might get shot. Look, you got an MMA career. You want to save crime and save people, be a cop. Don't go running around Seattle in a rubber uniform. I mean, he has the mask and everything. Got an email on this guy, and wasn't really a sports topic, but I said to myself, you know, hey, let me check it out. So just so happened ESPN was playing the piece, and if you didn't see it, check it out. It's called Phoenix Rising on ESPN. This guy goes around the city of Seattle, and listen, I'm lying to you not. He has a straight-up Superman suit on. It's not a Superman suit. He has pepper spray. He got the mask. He looks like somebody out of freaking – he looks like Spawn. That's what he looks like. And he runs around, and he helps people. look, he's not jumping off buildings or anything like that. He's not, you know, propelling through the air like Batman, but he brings people food, and some people are taking pictures with him. My only concern with this guy is this. Dude, what if he gets shot? You do know that's a suit. I mean, it's not just him. He has a bunch of guys. I mean, these guys are nuts. These guys with masks. If I'm a criminal, I'm not doing nothing around these guys. These guys are citizen superheroes. I know I heard of citizen's arrest. I heard of being a little, the neighborhood watch, but my goodness, these guys took it to a whole other level. I mean, if you're drunk, I mean, they show these guys are helping guys who were passed out drunk, breaking up fights. Story, but like I said, the guy's an MMA fighter, and I kind of do respect what he does, but the more I talk about it, I feel like a complete idiot because I think about what this guy does. The cops don't like him. Got a quick message on this. Yeah, they love the guy. Let me tell you something. He's not Batman. Now, let's not get all crazy. Look, you're not going to mess up my sports show with some Phoenix Rising guy who runs around Seattle trying to be a superhero. But I tell you what. If you want to impress me, start flying. Until then, I don't want to watch it. The guy 6-0-1 as an MMA fighter. He's some champ. I don't know what champion he is. He's some type of champion. But he thinks he wants to be Batman and save the world. I mean, this guy is the real deal. He sees a fight. He goes flying down the street. I guess one guy challenged him to a fight, and he beat him up. Guy didn't know he was a UFC fighter. I mean, the guy got chased down the street with his, you know, with a girlfriend of somebody who he, I guess, tackled. He got chased down by a shoe. I don't know, man. I'm not going to talk about this. You guys drive me nuts. You know, look at it yourself on ESPN. You'll see the guy. I really don't care now. You know, they're showing it again, and I don't care. I'd rather talk about the Texans release and Andre Johnson. Let's go there. Like I said, until this guy flies, until he has a cool car, until he's climbing up buildings, until he's propelling himself with one hand with a Batman-type device, do not tell me about this guy anymore. The guy looks like me 10 years ago with the haircut. I'm not taking calls on this. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Let's talk about this. Andre Johnson, released by the Texans. Let me tell you something. I think it's a good deal. I think it's good that the Patriots have not exercised the option for Revis. I think it's good when you see these guys getting cut who are asking too much money. You know why? You got to keep the team afloat. You're not going to sink it with one player. The great Peyton Manning restructured his contract. Look, these are all contractual moves. Most of these guys will get released and re-sign with a different contract. I'm just waiting to see how it plays out because I'm not going to talk too much about free agency until it plays out because we do this every year. We think we know what we're talking about. We talk about certain things, and it never happens the way we think it's going to happen. So I'm just going to wait and see what teams make the moves I think they should make, and there's going to be a lot of surprises in there, a lot of surprises. Want to respond to the email I got or the message I got when we had the champ on about the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. Look, the champ is with Floyd more than us. This guy's physically with him. He sees him spar. He's trained by his father. So this guy sees Floyd up close. And when he said he's going to knock Pacquiao out, I can't really doubt what he's saying because Floyd does beat up a lot of his sparring partners. And he's putting guys out already. But I still like Manny. You know why? Because Manny fights hard. Yeah, he was knocked out by a guy that Floyd made look pathetic. But Pac-Man's going to come fight. This is probably his last big money fight. Floyd has one more fight after this. I don't know what he's going to do or who he's going to fight. If Pac-Man wins, it may be a rematch. His best thing, I think, is to go ahead. You're fighting an older Pacquiao. If you lose the fight or it's controversial, you use that last fight of the contract you have with Showtime and have a rematch. I think the best thing for Floyd that could happen is a controversial win to where people want to see a rematch, and they do it again. You know why? Because it's not going to be smart for him to fight a guy like Amir Khan that's sitting there, who's younger, who has quick hands, but does have a glass jaw, but could but can present a lot of problems speed-wise for Floyd Mayweather. That's what I think. And if you want to look at it that way, makes sense to me. Floyd, if he wins convincingly, knocks him out or beats him just so bad it's a unanimous decision, you got to fight Amir Khan. And I think Amir Khan's going to present a ton of problems for him. Do I think Khan can beat him? Not really. Khan has a weak chin, and Floyd's going to tap that chin a little bit. But he'll get hit a lot more in this fight, more than any other fight. At least Amir Khan does have the speed, and he would give him a lot of problems. Because that's pretty much what I'm going to do about that message right there by Floyd. And like I said, look, it's a pretty slow sports day. There's not much going on. You know, the college championships are going on right now. A lot of us aren't even paying attention to some of these conferences. A lot of these conferences I didn't even know even existed. No disrespect to some of these colleges, but I'm not going to run to the TV to watch Morgan State play Hampton. And neither are you. So we're not going to talk about them. We're going to wait until March Madness, the tournament. We don't want to see the NIT, which a lot of you guys don't give respect. I watch the NIT too. Yes, it's not as exciting, but some of the teams who are good kind of get a late run late in the season, and they go to the NIT. Is it something we want to watch? No, but we'll talk about it. Let's be honest, though. Who's going to beat Kentucky? I've been saying that for 2 days? I've been saying that on my page for a long time. Who's going to beat Kentucky, no matter even if they lose now? Who's going to beat them in the tournament? I don't think no one is. Anything's possible. Things do happen. We all want to see that Cinderella. I don't want to see a Cinderella because guess what? We have a mighty king sitting on top of that throne, and that is the Kentucky Wildcats, and people are just hoping someone knocks them off. And as of right now, no one has done that. 31-0 in the regular season. We'll see how far they go. Got some NBA talk. We're not going to hit on that right now. We're going to close this show a little bit early. If you guys know me, I run a good show, but I will not talk about stuff that ain't important. And there's nothing important right now just because it's a very slow sports night. We're going to go ahead and bring on a few guys tomorrow for the show we're talking about with the high school situation. We're going to have Tim DeLady on from South Park here in Buffalo, New York area, who has a good football program at South Park. We're going to have the Hall of Famer James Mallory on, spend some time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from Ken West. We'll try to get some other guests around the country on to talk about the situation about coaches and players and who really has the upper hand and who has the control when it comes to your kid playing for a coach for the school. That's going to be a big topic because I think there's many different views on that. We'll try to have Sue Boyer on. He's going to talk to us about his views on that whole situation just in general when it comes to kids and just coaches. And we'll have also, hopefully, Steve Brown also from Channel 2 News to come on and give his insights on that. But we're going to call it short today because, like I said, the very slow sports night. Not much is going on right now. We're going to have a better show tomorrow because a lot of guys are going to be freed up, and we'll have more of a view on how the free agency market is going to go and who's going to be where. We'll check you guys out later. Look, if you did like the show, I know you like the show. If you want to pass on to your friends to be on the Facebook page on Trenton White Sports, do check out the page. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on there. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there.